Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily those of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. And good evening, and welcome once again to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. I am your host, Willie Hassel, your gatekeeper to the dark side, your guide to the realm of the unknown, the unseen, the unthinkable. And she is the always lovely, she is the mystical, and she is the mysterious, and she is Lynn Nickerson.
And I am here.
And you are here.
And how are you?
I'm good. I was just a little concerned, though, because there's... playing the intro, and I saw you get up and leave. So.
Oh, yeah, but I came back quickly. They always come back.
I know. They always come back. They can't leave forever. It's my magnetic personality, you know.
That's what it is. Just, people are drawn to you.
That's right. Usually the wrong people, but, you know, I get lucky sometimes. So what do you think?
So we are without a guest tonight.
I got a guest. I got you.
Well, all right.
Okay.
Partnership.
What more do we need? So did you have a pleasant week and all that?
Had a wonderful week.
Good.
Yep, got a lot done.
Got a lot done.
And okay. You?
You? No, me.
Yeah, yes, you're equally interesting, too. Please tell me, how was your week?
You really confused me on that one.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Willie. You didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. And I forgot the question, so we'll just go on to what we're going to do tonight.
Oh, all right, fine.
Okay.
Mention that we're guestless.
you already mentioned that.
Okay,
you know?
Good, fine.
We don't want to beat it into the ground. I mean, you know, people will think it's not our choice.
I know it. You know? So, yes, we will be rescheduling our guest, who is Richard Southall.
Yeah, but
he'll be coming on a little later on.
Actually, yeah, tonight on Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience, you know, every now and then, we do like to take a week and not schedule a guest.
That's right. We love to have a discussion occasionally.
So we can have a conversation between ourselves.
Rub our two brains together.
and see what we come up with. So we just kind of sit back and we pick a subject. We do a little bit of research and see what kind of interesting stories we can come up with.
That's right.
So tonight we have chosen Anomalies and Unexplained Events. Some of those stranger, unexplained realms of the paranormal, including black-eyed children, phenomena. There are strange stories of not just children, but sometimes adults with the strange jet black eyes and very odd behavior. The ghostly world of shadow people, as well as strange anomalies of time known as time slips.
Mm-hmm. Another fascinating subject. Mm.
So that's pretty much riveted. You're riveted? Yeah.
Yes, I find that very riveting.
I'm glad something rivets you.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay.
So I believe you were going to...
Yes.
Unless there was something else you were going to say.
No, we can just launch right into this right now. Whitley Strieber has a radio show called Dreamland, and he has had on three times now the guest David Weatherly, and David has written a book called Black Eyed Children. So the reason that Whitley had invited him on the show was because Whitley himself had experienced black-eyed children coming, knocking on his door. So he wanted to speak to David Weatherly, whom he considered to be, well, at least a research expert on this. So this is a phenomenon that is pretty prevalent. It's more than just an urban legend. And I was going to say, there wasn't too long ago that I came across someone who actually was involved with the fad of earplugs. And earplugs are, you put some kind of circular disc in your ear.
Oh, those kind of earplugs.
Those earplugs, yeah. Okay. They're decorative. Yeah. And they're becoming the fad. But I also noticed that along with that, people like to use black contact lenses. And as soon as I had heard about the black-eyed children, I saw a woman in Dunkin' Donuts with earplugs and black contact lenses. And I thought for a minute that maybe this is what they're talking about with the black-eyed children. Mm. But that is actually a fad, buying black contact lenses and wearing them. So, she looked very odd, but she was not one of these children.
Yeah, so that you're talking contact lenses, so that would just be the pupil.
Actually, no. Yeah. It covered almost all of her white, the white of her eye.
There, okay.
They were very large and dark.
When we first started getting into this black-eyed children, I discovered that people are actually tattooing their eyeballs black, or different colors, actually.
I don't know how that's possible.
I certainly wouldn't want to have it done, but they are actually tattooing their eyes, in some cases black, and in other cases different colors.
I should think that if it pierces the eye, you'd lose the fluid.
I would think so. I don't know.
You sure it wasn't just the lids?
No, this was the actual eyes.
Oh, yeah, well,
look it up on the internet. The internet never lies. You know.
I will look that up. But anyway, the way that you can determine that what you're looking at is not one of these sinister black-eyed children is because of their demeanor, their temperament. And this young woman was really very sweet, so I knew immediately that this was just an example of this fad. But there are a lot of instances of people reporting these black-eyed children. And some of the words that they use to describe them, and we'll get into these types of encounters, they're creepy, they're unnerving, people feel threatened by them, they're sinister, and even the word inhuman is applied to them. In some cases, the black-eyed people are seen in excellent lighting conditions, like, for instance, in broad daylight. But also there are some reports that indicate that it's more than just dark irises. Their entire eye appears to be black, with little or no white showing. And additionally, disturbing in many cases are the strange attitudes and behavior exhibited by some of these black-eyed people. For the most part, it's children, but there are some adults that have been sighted. So also those who encounter them are often overcome with a profound sense of dread, as if these beings are to be avoided at all costs. And also, as read in many other stories, black-eyed people black-eyed people often asked to be invited into someone's home or into someone's car. And what they do is they don't try to barge in and they don't threaten to come in typically. They only seem to need to be voluntarily invited into the person's home or vehicle. But you have to ask yourself, but for what purpose? What would happen if they were allowed in? Well, we've got a couple of stories here, and I don't know what happens in all circumstances, but I do have one story where one of these people was invited in. So most of these stories that we're going to talk about tonight were taken from a website on the internet. It's about.com, but it's about entertainment.com, and the website, master editor is Stephen Wagner. So if you go to the internet. We will be posting some of these links for you if you wish to research this further on your own. But this is the gunshot story with kids at the door. And we're trying to make these stories brief, but it's important to point out the similarities between these stories. I think you have a problem, Willie. What is it? gunshot? Did you want to handle the gunshot?
No, I was just making sure we gunshot, shotgun, you know, just making sure. That
did I say gunshot?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, this is the shotgun story with the children at the front door. Did you want to cover that? Were you planning on covering that?
Go right ahead.
Oh, no,
I'm
because...
confused, because my list says that you're talking about salesman story.
Well, I can launch right into the salesman story, okay. But we have two each anyway, right? Okay. Well, this one is called, I'm just calling it so that we can keep these stories straight, The Black-Eyed Salesman, and it was submitted to this website by Tiffany H. Seems that nobody wants to give, pretty much they don't want to give their last name. It happened in Chicago in October of 2002. So this story is about a black-eyed salesman that my family and I encountered a few years ago. There was a knock at the door, so I walked to the door and I looked into the peephole to see who it might be. There was a man that was probably in his 50s with a black suit and a long black trench coat. He had an all-black hat and a black duffel bag or gym bag. He creeped me out because I kept asking him who was at the door and he wouldn't respond, so I asked my dad to come to the door. My father slightly opened the door and I immediately felt fear for some reason. The man was not saying or doing anything in particular to make me feel this way, but I just got that feeling. So my father asked the man what he wanted, and the man said that he had some perfume for sale and would like to know if we wanted to purchase some. So my father was the type that would donate or at least hear what you had to say because he knew how hard it was to make a living at this kind of work. So my father opened the door wider, signaling for the guy to come in, but he just kept peeking around the corner as if he was checking things out before he entered. And my father looked at him and said, "Aren't you going to show us what you've got?" And the salesman replied, still looking around the corner, "Only if you invite me in." And the father says, "I open the door." And the man replies, "I know, but you have to invite me in." Looking baffled, my father said, "Well, okay, come on in." So as the guy entered, he kept staring at me, and I noticed that he had no whites in his eyes. They were totally black. I immediately closed my eyes and started saying the Lord's Prayer. I kept my eyes closed the entire time that he was there. My father wound up not buying a thing from the man because he never took anything out of his bag. He just kept telling my father, and I think this is a very creepy line, that if he bought something from him, he would be eternally grateful for his purchase. My father finally asked him to leave because he never showed Dad what he was selling. So the creepy part is when I opened my eyes and he was leaving, he was still staring at me. And my mom said he stared at me the entire time he talked. No one knew I was praying, but I felt that this guy or thing could sense it and that he was bothered by it. After he left, we started smelling the scent of fresh roses and flowers, which is strange because he was selling perfume, but he never took anything out of his bag. So that was peculiar. And then we immediately looked out the window to watch him walk away, but there was nobody there. I went outside, and he was nowhere to be found. He actually came back, though, about 1 month later, and I was home alone. He had on the same outfit, and he carried the same bag, and I told him through the door that we weren't interested in what he was selling. I peeked through the peephole, only to find him peeping back, and he said to me, "Don't worry, I'll keep coming back." And once again, he just disappeared. So I'm happy to say we've never seen him again. And that was October of 2002 in Chicago. So that happened to be an adult. And there's supposed to be a really bad connotation if these things come in. But apparently what thwarted this guy was the fact that this little girl started praying. Started saying the Lord's Prayer the minute he came in.
Apparently, yeah.
So apparently that kind of... sent him on his way.
Yeah, that kind of threw him off his game. And
that's right.
And he just really didn't know where to go from there, I guess.
Because we don't know what these things are.
That was lucky for her, I would say.
Of the family.
Yeah, well, the whole family.
Yeah, for the whole family.
But it sounds like she was really centering on her.
I know.
More than the mother and father.
Well, probably because she sensed the evil and they didn't catch on.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
whatever these things are, apparently...
Well, it's a puzzlement what they are. But you have a story to tell us, too, don't you?
I have a couple of stories, but first of all, this from somebody from Coleman, Alabama. And this happened on April 16th of 2014. And he says, I saw two kids walking down my road. These kids looked to be around 12, 13 years old. I had never seen them before and thought maybe they were visiting someone in the neighborhood. They stopped walking and just stood on the road right across from my house. They just stood there staring at my house while I was looking out the window. I went to my room to get my shoes, and when I came out, they were gone. And it was about 8 p.m., my power went off and on, actually, a few times. And I'm not sure if this had something to do with what happened, but it did freak me out. The power finally came back on, and at around 8:20, I heard knocking on my front door. Around here, people tend to know each other, so we usually just open the door and see who it is. But I turned on my porch light, and instead looked through the peephole on my door, but it was pitch black, even though the light was on. I didn't know why, but I was extremely terrified for some reason. I started to put my hand on the handle and asked, "Who's there?" Some kid answered, "Sorry to bother you, mister, but we are lost and need to borrow your phone." So I replied, "Well, I have a spare cell phone you can borrow for a few minutes, and let me go and get it, and I'll come back, and I'll come outside with you." And so the kid just said, "No, you let me in right now." And he started banging on the door like some grown man was hitting it. And so the kid kept screaming, "Let me in now. You're making a mistake." I grabbed my shotgun, just in case, and held it off to the side of my leg. I put my hand on the lock and unlocked the door. And this is where I made my mistake. I opened the door expecting to see either both of these kids or just one kid with a weapon or something. But these weren't little kids. Standing at my door were two people. Both looked to be about 12 or 13. But their eyes were pitch black. I felt terrified again. I felt like putting my shotgun down and letting them in. I'm not sure why. I just felt that way. As I had the door open for those 3 or 4 seconds, the taller kid started to walk toward me and come in. So I kicked my door shut as hard as I could and locked it. At this point, I heard them both crying and screaming in a strange, distorted, high-pitched way, followed by some banging on my door again. So I loaded my shotgun, opened the door expecting to see these things. But they were gone. I heard some footsteps, and my neighbor was coming by. He told me he heard some weird screams and came by to check on me. I stood there, probably looking like death, with a shotgun in my hand. I let him in and told him the entire event. He told me to call the police. But I was positive they wouldn't believe me, so I never did call. And so my neighbor left, and I just spent the next 2 days without sleeping. I have no idea what those things were. I sometimes have nightmares about them. I'm not sure if anybody else ever seen these things, but if you ever do, or you hear kids telling you to open the door, grab a weapon, and stay in your house.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, the fact that he actually had a shotgun and he was that scared.
Yeah, well, really.
Yeah.
It initially wasn't loaded, but then he was scared enough. He actually loaded it, thinking that they were kids, but they were just so...
Just such odd children.
Yeah.
And they have a way of staring you down, and you feel like mesmerized by them, like almost you're under
their
spell.
Yeah, you don't want to make eye contact with them.
No, you don't. And also, too, there's a couple of accounts in there on this particular website where they make this ridiculous, distorted screaming noise like these children did. And it wasn't just this guy's experience, because his neighbor came over to talk to him, to check on him and see if he was okay. But in that instance, I don't think they ever came back, right, Willie?
I don't believe they did. No, I think that was just a one-time
thing. Yeah, and the other thing is, everybody is just filled with a great sense of fear.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Yeah. Well, I have one more story, and I chose this. I've got a couple of stories of military people that experienced this. This one is from, I thought I put his name on here, a gentleman that was stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. He says, I'm a Marine, and I live in the infantry barracks off of River Road. I recently had a rather strange encounter with a pair of black-eyed kids. I live on the third floor of the barracks that have open walkways on the outside and the rooms on the inside. This happened on a weekend back in November of 2009. I stayed in that weekend because I was broke and I didn't have enough money to go out. So I was watching a movie when I heard a knock at my door. Figuring it was my roommate who had lost his key again, I went and opened it up. Instead of a drunken roommate, I found two little kids standing on the walkway. Only these kids freaked me out. I don't know what it was about them, but as a Marine, we're always told to listen to that little voice in our head, because it just may save your life. Right then, that voice was screaming at me to shut the door and lock it. There was also the fact that these kids had absolutely pitch-black eyes. But I pushed those things aside and asked them what they were doing there so late. They responded by saying that it was really cold and they wanted to come in and read. I was really confused because I've never met a kid that wants to read. Also, there was no mention of any parents or anything else you'd expect a lost couple of kids to say. I couldn't take my eyes off their pitch black eyes. It was like they were sucking me in. I felt horrible and was suddenly frightened for my life, like I needed to immediately take cover. I took a quick look up and down the walkway to see if any other Marines were out, but there was nobody in sight. I turned back to the kids, who I noticed had taken a step toward me. I got the feeling like I was being hunted, like these kids were predators out for their next meal. Instinct gave way to reason, and I decided to listen to that voice, and I shut the door and locked it. I heard soft, constant knocking for the next 5 minutes before I heard my window rattle in the room, and then nothing. The next morning, I went down to the officer on duty, and I asked him about who the kids were on the walkway the night before, and he said that he hadn't seen or heard any kids in the area at all, and dismissed it by remarking that I probably had too much drink last night. The only problem was I hadn't been drinking, I hadn't been doing anything except watching a movie. So I doubt that any of the families here would let their kids wandering out around the military base at night. So there's a big question, who the heck these kids are? How are their targets or their victims chosen? Why is it that all of a sudden they appear? There seems to be no pattern to this. Yeah. Where do they come from and why are they there?
And where do they go?
Yeah, they do seem to vanish.
They disappear, don't they?
Yep. Seem to have no parents. Very odd. Mm. I mean, what is this phenomenon?
I don't know. But I'm going to be careful when I open my door. I know that. if I look out the peephole and I don't see anybody,
see no little people.
It's got to be somebody short. I'm not going to open the door.
Except for me, Willie.
Well, except for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll open the door for you. Right.
Well, then you had another story about that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I do have one more. It's kind of fairly short.
Okay.
This was Joey. And he was out in the hill country of Tennessee, and this happened when he was a young kid, about 15. And, you know, at the time, this was a few years ago, so at the time, out there in the hill country, you know, you can drive a car when you're 15, nobody really cares. So Joey says, I had my own car and was headed back from what we called a town back then, which consisted of a gas station, a grocery mart, and a post office. That was all there was. Joey's kind of a hick. He talks a little funny. All the kids around used to hang out at the grocery mart, play checkers, and talk, and drink pop. Well, it was about 11 o'clock, and I was past my curfew already, so I give Bobby Joe and Kyle a ride home. They both lived out to the west of town, and I lived to the east. So I drop them off, and I head for home. And the road was a special dark that night with no moon and no streetlights. About a mile from Kyle's house, where the road was narrow and windy, suddenly the engine started shaking and quit on me. I tried and tried, but she just wouldn't kick over. So I sat there in the dark wondering what to do. Suddenly, two young boys came around the bend in front of me, just stopped about 10 feet away and stared at me. They didn't say a thing. They looked to be about 17 or 18. I was getting kind of mad. They wouldn't talk to me, so I opened the window and to say something, when suddenly I got a feeling like never before.
Just when he opened the window?
Yeah, well, he sensed them, I guess. Oh. So they took a few steps closer to the car, and about 4 foot away now I could see the eyes. They was just as black as could be. Not just the pupil, but the white part, too. They started chanting altogether. Mm. Let us in. Let us in. We need a ride. We need a ride. Let us in. Immediately, I locked the windows and the doors and just started, and they just started pounding on the windshield. Give us a ride. Let us in. And I don't mind telling you, I was mighty afeard of them. There wasn't no way I was going to let them in my car. I just knew I'd been looking into the eyes of evil. I knew I was in the presence of the devil, because my daddy, he was a Southern minister, and he'd tell me all about the devil. So anyway, after about a half hour, they just disappeared. And about an hour or so after that, daddy come looking for me, because he knew it was late. Mm. He got the car running, and I never said a word about it.
He never spoke to his father about it.
He never told him. He was just—he was so scared, and he thought he was just looking into the eyes of evil.
So, did the car wind up starting up by itself?
No, his father got it going.
His father got the car going.
Yeah, his father got the car going for him. So, did the kids cause it to stop in the first place? I have to wonder.
Very weird. It's so prevalent. Now, I haven't read David Weatherly's Black Eyed Children book. That's on my list of to read books. But there's just so much information out there. He does say have a second book out called, it eludes me at the moment, but it has to do with Strange Encounters, I think is the name of it. And it includes more accounts of black eyed children, but also some other anomalous events across the world. So that should be a really interesting follow-up, too. So these aren't urban legends. These are things that happen. And Whitley Strieber, as I mentioned, it happened to him. He was confronted by two of these children. And the reason he had David Weatherly on his show, Dreamland, was to quiz him about what he knew about them, because he was frightened out of his mind. These children wanted to come into his house. They came banging on his door.
And what do you think he would do if... What do you think you would do if black-eyed kids came to your door?
Oh, I think I'd have to slam the door in their face and I'd deadbolt it. Yeah, I think I'd get
two good moves.
Yeah, I think I'd get the sense of evil too quickly, especially looking at those eyes. Very frightening.
Yeah, I know. No.
But we are at the bottom of the hour, folks,
and
we're going to take a quick break right here, and we're going to come back with shadow people stories and time anomaly stories. So this is Lynn and Willie, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Supernatural Magazine, the UK's newest paranormal magazine, provides support to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. It is the magazine's goal to bring every aspect of supernatural news and research from around the world under one roof to create a universal platform for all those interested in the supernatural. More information is available at supernaturalmagazine.com. You are listening to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience on WSCA 106.1 FM, and we'll be right back after this short break.
tuned to WSCA 106.1 FM in Portsmouth, West End. And Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience, will be back in just a minute. But first, from the community calendar. This is a good way to help support your community radio. Soundstage 909 presents Paranormal Evidence Review with Spirit Chasers Paranormal. The team from Spirit Chasers Paranormal, along with special guest Belle LaFaso of Seacoast Paranormal Research Group, will be holding an evening of paranormal fun and education, and that is Friday, March 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. on the brand new Soundstage 909 right here at the WSCA Studios. That's located at 909 Islington Street, Suite 3, right here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And 100% of the donations from this event will go to help support WSCA Portsmouth Community Radio. More information is online at spiritchasersparanormal.com.
And that sounds like a worthy cause.
It is. It is a very worthy cause. Help out the radio station. Have a little paranormal fun in this, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another way that you can help WSCA is the New England Parafest 2016 at the Ashworth by the Sea, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And that is Friday evening, April 8th, and all day Saturday, April 9th. It's produced by the Essex County Ghost Project and co-sponsored by Spirit Chasers Paranormal and Visions of the Paranormal. The third annual New England Parafest will once again feature exciting speakers from all over New England area covering all aspects of the paranormal. And this year's event will be donating 50% of the proceeds to help WSCA Portsmouth Community Radio. And more information is online at EssexCountyGhostProject.org or SpiritChasersParanormal.com. And you have some upcoming guests, I believe.
Okay, Willie. Our upcoming guest list starts with March 5th. We've got Preston Dennett coming back. Preston Dennett. And he's an investigator with MUFON. And he's joining us to talk about his latest release, which is titled Not From Here. So I can't wait to read this. He's got some wonderful case histories about UFO encounters. On March 12th, it was Sam Queen and Jamie Davis who co-wrote Haunted Asylums, Prisons, and Sanatoriums. Jamie won't be coming, but Sam Queen will be. And he's going to return to wrap up the remaining stories at some of these insanely haunted locations. On March 19th, our good friend Tom Spitaleri, who is director of Essex County Ghost Project, is returning to our studio to talk about some of his latest investigations, because he's quite the little ghost hunter. But he's going to talk to us, too, about the lineup of speakers for the Parafest conference that Willie was just talking about coming up in April. And on March 26th, our local lighthouse historian, Jeremy D'Entremont, was booked for this date, but he had to reschedule. So we're probably going to have another discussion between Willie and me. On April 2nd, Michelle Matuzas, who is a psychic medium empath, who is also an historic reenactor and a member of the Spirit Light Network, which is the same group that Reverend Betty Comerford and Reverend Steve Wilson are members of. She has just come out with her own deck of tarot cards, all of which display her own artwork. So she's going to talk to us about this enterprise. April 9th, we're welcoming Dean Merchant, and he's a local UFO historical researcher who, along with his wife Pam, are the originators and organizers of Exeter's annual UFO festival. He's currently researching the history of UFOs in Exeter, New Hampshire, and the New England areas as far back as the 17th century, and they both will be in the studio to talk with us. And then last but not least, I wanted to mention this, that the modern-day UFO crashes did not begin with Roswell. There were others, although they weren't widely publicized. And one of them was the Aztec UFO crash in March of 1948, just subsequent to Roswell. So Scott and Suzanne Ramsey, who are the authors of the Aztec UFO incident, will be our guests. And as a matter of fact, they have they were just on Coast to Coast on December 26th, 2015. And recently, on February 17th, they were on Whitley Strieber's show. So they will be with us on April 16th. And that wraps up our guest list for the time being.
Okay, so why don't we go back to tonight's guests? Us.
Us.
All right, so moving along, let's see, the next thing we want to talk a little bit about is shadow people. I know, it just kind of, just the name is almost, it's almost enough to explain the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think the phenomenon of shadow people is one of the strangest of the paranormal world. Fleeting glimpses of shadows out of the corner of the eye, sometimes nothing more than undefined darkness in the corner of a room, sometimes a more defined human-looking shape with a clear form and human-type movement. Some shadow people sightings even claim to see red glowing eyes. It is not always just out of the corner of the eye. Peripheral vision sightings, though. Some shadow beings have been witnessed straight on in direct line of sight, ranging anywhere from a quick flash of darkness sightings to a minute to several minutes. While some researchers contend that shadow people are interdimensional beings or even time travelers, others believe they are more closely related to the ghost phenomenon. Whereas most ghosts are reported as misty, white, or gray, these phantoms, for whatever reason, take on a darker appearance. Some say blacker than black. This phenomenon seems to be on the rise around the world. There appear to be more sightings with greater frequency. So are they all just tricks of the eye or eerie shadows cast from an explainable source that the mind tries to put into some context that it can comprehend? As with most supernatural phenomena, there is always the question, is there a valid scientific explanation for what is being witnessed? To those people, though, who have witnessed one of these, I think they know better.
You know, if they haven't, there's so many different things that happen in the paranormal world, especially relative to ghosts. We just put labels on them because some of them have certain characteristics and we don't understand it. We don't know where they come from. We don't know what the conditions are, what dimensions they're in.
No.
There's just, they're a puzzlement.
They are, yeah. Well, I mean, that's most of the paranormal world is, we don't understand it.
Yeah, it seems like we're approaching some sense of understanding.
Yeah, we're getting there, I guess, but most of it's just theory.
Theory.
I mean, nobody really knows for sure.
No.
I mean, what is it exactly? Is a shadow person? What is an EVP? What causes it? I mean, it's all...
It's so fun to kind of speculate.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and when, you know, you come across stories of people that have seen these things, and we each have a little one of our own.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's more than just, you think you saw something out of the corner of your eye and you're trying to make it look like something. There's more to it than that.
Oddly enough, it seems to cooperate with everyone else's story. Everybody seems to have some of the same descriptions when these things happen. So,
But there are a lot of different descriptions.
Oh, there are.
I mean, yeah. And like I said, anywhere from just a fleeting shadow to an actual figure.
So do you have a story tonight?
Oh, you want me to tell you a story?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you a bedtime story. How's that? This was Deidre's experience, and it's one of the strangest of all and has characteristics of a residual ghost, one that plays out its death over and over again. And keep in mind that this story is very similar to Sarah Sutherland's experience,
right,
who we had on the show not too long ago.
Right.
When she was with her sister on the way to a cemetery, and a shadow person crossed the road in front of them. So anyway, on the first occasion of seeing what I now called shadow people, I was driving along a dimly lit road, a road I drive every day, reports Deidre. Up ahead, I spotted a person walking along in dark clothes, which I immediately thought was insane on such a busy road. But before I got closer to the person, he shot across the road and dived into a car coming toward me. My first instinct is that he'd been run over, but the car just kept driving on. I put it down as a trick of light, until a few weeks later, the same thing happened. But this time, the shadow person seemed to be looking out for a particular car and did the same thing and shot across the road into the car, but the driver was totally unaware. I have now seen four of these shadow people who appear to choose which car they want to dive into. And Deidre is from Kildare area in Ireland.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of a creepy
It is. That is weird.
To see a shadow walking along the side of the road and run and dive into somebody's car.
Dive into somebody's car. You know, both my brother and sister-in-law, I guess it was my sister-in-law that woke up and nudged my brother, and she saw something. She saw a black shadow in the room, and she said the darkness did not compare to the darkness of this shadow person. It was definitely outlined because it was just so black, so opaque and black. So she saw that. I've seen that just recently. And, you know, I don't know if it presages something. I don't know what brings it on, why it's sighted, but I saw it. And how about you? Didn't you see something recently?
Yeah, I had a little experience myself. What was it, about a year now?
Yeah.
A year ago or so?
At the restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you want me to tell that one right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, but I mean, sure.
It's a short story. We were doing an investigation at a local restaurant after being called in by the owner, you know, because the wait staff was seeing and feeling strange things.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were all down in the basement area in the furnace room, and we were doing EVP sessions. And the way we were situated, the furnace room was off a little hallway which led into the main basement, and Lynn was standing with her back to the doorway to the hall, and I was on the other side of the room. And for some reason, she moved, which just caught my attention. So I looked, and I was looking directly at her. This was not out of the corner of my eye. And behind her, I saw a shadow figure move by the doorway to the main part of the basement. And it was black. It completely blocked out all the light in the basement. Mm. And so I said, "Hey, there's somebody down here, you know." So
yeah,
we all took off and went and looked and searched the basement and couldn't find anything. But while we were gone, we picked up a really interesting EVP while the recorder was left behind in the furnace room by itself. But that's a story for another day.
Truly. Yeah. Well, my shadow person story, this is what the individual, the author, called it. She called it Blue Shadow People, and is taken from the same website, Stephen Wagner's website, about.com. And it's included in this because since we don't know what shadow people are, and all of them have appeared to be at least black, some maybe having red eyes and whatnot, and seen under different conditions, this person claims to see these blue shadow people that come to visit her. So I assume it's a woman, but the initials are DM. So DM writes, "I have recurring visitations from a life form that I call the blue people. They don't really look like humans, though. They're about 4 feet tall. They walk erect on legs, but the knees bend backwards." That's kind of bizarre right there.
Yes, it is.
"They have 4 fingers and 2 thumbs and roughly the same configuration on their feet." I know, odd.
I was just going to say, sometimes I think I have 2 thumbs, too. But,
I think you do.
On each hand, I mean.
But you're not blue. "The toes and the fingers are webbed. They have no shoulders and no neck. They just go up from the shoulders into a bulbous head." Now, I think it's important that I read the description to you, because these creatures are just unlike anything I've read about. "The face consists of 3 crescents that are arched down like a grimace, the shortest on top and the longest on the bottom. And these individuals are blue." And all I can imagine is something like almost folds of skin on the face. "They visited me for about 5 years now. They come late at night and when everything is quiet. The first thing that wakes me is a high-pitched whine, which is followed by a very white light that appears through the wall or the door or wherever it is that they choose to come in from. So they come through the light when it opens it up enough for them to pass. So it's sort of almost like a pinpoint of light that broadens, and then they climb through the light." So she continues with, "I was quite scared the first time, and I thought that I was having a lucid nightmare. Later, though, when they returned several times, I realized that they were benevolent and only curious about this world. They would walk about my room, look at things, and try to touch things." But she goes on to say that these things were really shadowy. They were like diaphanous. She could kind of see through them. She said, for a long time, when I tried to speak to them, they would rush back into the light and disappear. I tried everything to set up some kind of a communication with them. Only recently did I have a breakthrough of sorts. When I opened my mouth to speak, one of them rushed over and put his hand on my mouth. I got quiet. It touched my eyes and it touched my ears. Then it touched the three crescents on his face. And then it touched my eyes and ears again. So the one thing that I must interject here is that they have no physical form, and they are kind of like ghosts. So when I say they touched me, it wasn't really like I was being touched. It took a while to put it all together, but I think the message is that they see with sound. My voice blinded them and scared them. I may have even injured them. So I think that they are dimensional explorers who would like to communicate. I'm working on different approaches right now to try and do that. So I just found this a really interesting story. Of course, you know, it could be a crock. But there are different elements. There was the element of the light appearing and then something crawling through the light. I've heard of this, like Skinwalker Ranch. A tunnel opened up and a creature came out of the light.
Yeah.
That's one parallel. Another parallel is, I just recently read an article about the sun acting as a portal and for UFOs to come through. And you would think, well, wouldn't the sun is so darn hot, wouldn't it melt them? But one physicist explained that the sun's energy is cold fusion. If the sun was really hot, then outer space would be hot, and it's not. So the sun acts as a portal. So again, there's that example of something coming through light acting as a portal. And then she talked about the fact that their faces were different, something that I'd never heard of, crescents on their face, and the fact that they're blue. And I have heard of this before, especially in Indian legends, that they were in touch with blue ethereal people in their myths, mythology, and legends. And the other thing is, these creatures here seem to communicate by sound. So they're not solid, and he referred to them as blue shadow people. So that I felt, in all fairness, to present an equal and similar shadow person story.
Mm-hmm. Sort of an alternative.
Yeah, sort of an alternative. We don't know what any of these things are anyway. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It remains equally an enigma of the blue variety.
Yeah.
So
the blue black shadow.
Yeah.
Kind of like black and blue.
Black and blue, exactly. Yeah. So it's my opinion that possibly the author of this story is probably quite psychic and able to perceive some unusual realms that most of us can't.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of outstanding.
Yeah.
So did you have another one, Will?
I do. I'll get through this one quickly here. And,
we're getting close to the end of the hour.
We don't have a name, so I'm just going to call him Bob. But it was in May of 1968, I believe, said Bob, when this event took place in the little town of Ravenna, Ohio. And as a young guy at the time, and recently married, my wife and I had just moved into an old apartment on the north side of town. It was a pleasant little home. We had one side, the landlords had the other. We had been there about a week when I started seeing dark shadow-looking things floating around in the corner of my eye. At first, I thought they were just my eyes playing tricks on me. You know, when you turn your head quick and you think you see something, then it's gone. Well, this happened several times over the first week that we were there. Mostly just wispy, dark cloud-like poking out from behind doorways or flashing across in front of a window. Mm. I said nothing to my wife and didn't want to scare her, but I had a strange feeling that she had seen them too and didn't tell me. So after several days, they became more prominent, not just in the numbers that I was seeing, but also more prominently displayed themselves. I was definitely starting to see them full on in my direct vision. One night, as I was watching TV, a figure came slowly out of the hall closet.
Ooh.
At the corner of my eye, but then it kept coming slowly over in front of the TV and stood there. It was black as black could be, as it completely blocked out the TV screen. Whatever it was like the darkest shadow I'd ever seen. It hovered around the TV for a good 5 minutes. Yeah, I was so frightened to move or make a sound. After a couple minutes, I could start to see a shape to it. I could make out a head of sorts, and it had arms and legs, and it really started to look human. Just about then, my wife came in the front door with a bag of groceries, and just as she was about to enter the living room where I was, I let out a scream, basically because I didn't want her to come in and see it. So she screamed, and the thing floated out through the living room wall and disappeared. What's wrong? She wanted to know. I just told her I'd been in a deep sleep, and she scared me. But then it was later that night that we were both in bed. I was asleep, and she was reading a book, when all of a sudden I was awakened by the loudest blood-curdling scream I ever heard in my life. Of course, it was my wife, and she was sitting bolt up in bed, grabbing my arm in a death grip. And just for the record, she did draw blood. I looked into her eyes, and I saw fear I had never seen before. She was frozen, staring into my eyes like she couldn't move if her life depended on it. And she still had her fingernails in my arm. Finally, I sensed that I needed to look to the bottom of the bed. Well, there was a tall shadow man standing staring at us. Though he was pitch black, we could still make out that he had arms and legs. He was wearing a hat. It was like an old top hat. He stood there staring straight at us. The really strange thing is that even though we could see no details, we knew he had eyes because we could just feel them penetrating us. Until he turned to a profile, and then suddenly we realized he had no head.
No head?
No head.
He had a hat, but no head?
Well, it was like a top hat pulled down, I guess. Wow. I don't know, but he had no head. So anyway, I don't think I really need to say, but the next morning, we just checked out of that apartment, and we never went back again.
No kidding.
So that's the end of my Shadow People stories.
That's pretty frightening.
It is kind of frightening. Isn't it?
So when his wife came home, it was he that screamed and not her.
Well, he screamed first. Basically, he wanted to kind of ward her off so she wouldn't come in and see this thing, you know. But then he made the excuse that he was asleep.
And but she didn't see it that first time
in
the living
room,
right?
No, she didn't see it in the afternoon, no.
Boy, that was, I just can't imagine. Because that wasn't fleeting, you know, that was kind
no,
of...
No, that's several minutes, he said.
Yeah. So. Boy, some frightening stories. We're going to do, we're just about the end of the show but we're going to post a couple of links on our Facebook pages so that anybody who's interested in checking out some of these amazing stories, that there's all different kinds of categories. There's ghosts and poltergeists, out-of-body experiences, unexplained phenomena, strange creatures, premonitions and ESP, prophetic dreams, past life experiences, near-death experiences, and time and dimension slips. So that would be about.com. That was a really fun site to research some of this stuff on. So once again, it's Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience. We're expecting Craig Mosier with the graveyard shift. I want to say the night shift.
The graveyard shift.
Yeah,
which I think is quite fitting, actually.
Yes, it is.
And we didn't plan it that way.
No. So once again, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
In this one of many possible worlds, all for the best, or some bizarre test. It is what it is, and whatever. Time is still the infinite jest. The arrow flies when you dream. The hours tick away, the cells take over.